Ladies and gentlemen of the Outbreak Listening Audience, this is Jim Brown welcoming you to issue number 75. Please watch your step on the gangway and welcome aboard. And here we go with some fast breaking news about the good ship Outrig. Danny Mindlack has our tractor trailer video about ready to go. It's up over something 20 minutes long now, and I think all of you who have helped support the creation of this thing through Patreon and PayPal and so on, I think you'll be very pleased with it. It's avant-garde, but it's got some nifty stuff in it. We will let you know when it's ready and when it's on YouTube. Of course, it talks a lot about the Outrig collection, and now we have an itemized list for you of what exactly is in the Outrig collection. Scott Brown has prepared two wonderful text documents, some of it illustrated, that itemizes by category all of the stuff that's in my personal collection. Slides, prints, documents, ad infinitum. And then there's an itemized list of Scott's video collection. This is a real trove of stuff, and we will post on the show notes when both of these things are to be released, and that'll be pretty soon, believe me, it's coming. And now I want to tell you about our meeting down at the Mariners Museum last Friday the 9th. We had it all set up with Lyles Forbes, whom I've told you about. He's the chief curator and the vice president of collections at the Mariners Museum, our National Maritime Museum in Newport News, Virginia. Lyles became a multi-hull man when I stopped in one day with an example of the Piver collection, which was looking for a home at the time, years ago. And since then, Scott Brown and I have managed to arrange for several designers, the personal collection of drawings, memorabilia, etc., of several key multi-hull designers to be reposited there at the Mariners Museum. And the culmination, of course, is the exhibit of the America's Cup catamaran inside the great hall of the museum now, on display with a great variety of other America's Cup stuff, including hydrofoils, wing sails, electronics, and some great videos of the America's Cup campaigns. All now on display at Newport News, Virginia. If you can get around to see it, you'll never forget it. And we all got around to see it last Friday, and we were a pretty big party. I'll give you a cast of characters. I was there with Scott Brown. Yes, Scott was able to make it at the last minute, came all the way from Toronto, fighting blizzards and flight delays. And of course, Scott is the videographer who first approached me at the Annapolis Boat Show, gosh, 20 years ago, about trying to gather the material for making a documentary film of modern multi-hull history. And Joanna, my wife Joanna, came along with us, and there was also Roger and Cynthia Hatfield. They are long-term Sea Runner friends of ours. They built the Sea Runner 31 near Washington, D.C. in the middle 70s, finished up, sailed away to the Caribbean, and never came back until recently, where they are now settled at Asheville, North Carolina. And in the meantime, Roger and his business partner, Rich DeFede, established and ran for many years the Gold Coast Yachts operation at St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. Gold Coast is by far the most successful producer of custom multi-hulls for both recreational and commercial use. They built well over 100 vessels, some of them very experimental. Roger's wave-piercing catamaran powerboats for ferry service between the islands in the Caribbean where the water is so darn rough. And their latest is a big one, a so-called tandem catamaran or quadramaran, actually a four-hulled catamaran that is showing signs of becoming a very viable commercial configuration. We'll have more to say about that when we get Roger on the phone, I hope, here pretty soon for one of our upcoming podcasts. Also at the museum was my son Russell and his wife Ashlyn. They run a kit boat production operation at Port Townsend, Washington State. They call it PT Watercraft or Port Townsend Watercraft. And their very sophisticated wood epoxy kits have become quite popular. They're busier than they want to be. Of course, Russell is the proa guy. He was the proa guy, and we'll have more to say about that at the end of this particular installation. And with great good fortune, we were also joined at the museum by Brian Schmidt and his wife Dee Dee, who were the original benefactors to kick off the Outbreak project with a bit of a budget some 20 years ago. They were along to get a feeling for the results of their generosity. And Brian is an avid collector of marine artifacts. Their home in the Florida Keys is worth another podcast all by itself, but they live in and with a collection that ranks right up with many of the things on exhibit in the Mariners Museum. So we all converged on Lyle's about 10 o'clock last Friday, and he took us straight into the AC exhibit, the America's Cup exhibit, which they call Speed and Innovation. Now, I've described this exhibit here in the podcast before, but just let me mention that the building is 50 feet by 100 feet, and they've got this 47 foot wide by 72 foot long catamaran inside this building. It's supported by four pylons, so it's up high, and there's plenty of room to operate underneath it and to put on other ancillary exhibits. And when you first walk into the room, you've got this huge catamaran coming at you. It's like you're a fish underwater looking up at these bows. And we all spent quite a bit of time there going through the information kiosks with each a little video of one or another aspect of the America's Cup history. And then at the far end of the room, there's a huge video screen with many dramatic shots of these flying boats in competition, you know, going 50 miles an hour, including the story of this boat being the one that pulled off the greatest comeback in sports history. Back in 2014, they were way behind the New Zealand boat in the very fierce competition. Finally got their problems straightened out with the hydrofoils and trimming the wing, and then had won four races in a row to take the cup. But New Zealand has got them back. Here we are in the New Zealand holding the America's Cup, which gives them the opportunity to choose the vessel type for the next series of races 4 years from now. And hey, it looks like it's not going to be a multi-hull. So after spending an hour or so in that exhibit, Lyle's took us off into the catacombs, the storage warehouses, all the stuff that the museum has accumulated over the ages, which is not on display, but instead appears in rotational exhibits. And the first things we saw were many America's Cup items which are not on display currently, such as one of the America's Cup 45-foot catamarans, disassembled in a warehouse, but together with a wonderful display of hydrofoils, a whole rack of about seven of them, all different shapes and sizes, part of the research program to really get that boat to fly on the L foils and J foils, which in my view is a technology that is required only by the racing rules in the America's Cup. I think they make little sense relative to T foils with articulating controlled surfaces, ailerons, on the lifting T. But during our visit to these artifacts, it was quite something to have Russell speak with Lyles about his friendship with Paul Beaker, who has had a lot to do with the design of these foils and with the design of the America's Cup boats themselves. It's Russell's friend Paul who has been the chief structural designer for Oracle during the past, I think, three America's Cup campaigns. So we learned a lot about the nuances of these things, including the fact that apparently the hydrofoils raised hell with the turtles out in Bermuda, where they had the last series of races. Great difficulty trying to keep the foils from colliding with the turtles. Blood in the water. So there is that aspect of hydrofoiling that has yet to be addressed, particularly with whales. When the boats get big and start operating in wide open ocean, they're going to have a forward shooting sonar that will bring the boat down onto the surface to a crash stop instead of hitting whales. Or other obstructions like containers, floating containers, and submarines. But poor Brian Schmidt just had his mouth watering looking at some of the stuff in the museum that he would like to have in his own personal collection. So you know what it's like in a museum. After a couple, 3 hours, boy, you're having trouble standing up. So we all went to lunch, at which point the party split up. Some of them started home, and Brian and I and Scott Brown went back to the museum and had a meeting with Lyles Forbes to try to determine the extent to which Outrig will belong in the Mariners Museum. And this situation, patient listener, is still fast breaking. I was hoping we could come out of this meeting with something conclusive, but what's happening is that the museum is in the process of restructuring its organization. They are combining three departments into one, and they're looking for a new director for that department. However, the new director for the whole museum, the guy that Lyles is finding it wonderfully exciting to work with, the management, the team spirit in the museum is apparently better than it's ever been. And Lyles has shared with the new director the evidence of the Outrig project. And the new director said, this goes right along with what we're trying to do with the rest of the museum. So I have a warm feeling for what's coming, but we're not there yet. And when we get there, we are apparently not going to be in financial difficulty. Brian Schmidt has offered to support that aspect of getting Outrig in the museum. Lyle says he can get grants, too. It's just that we need at least another couple of weeks in order for things to settle out at the museum before, you know, Lyles is in a position to accept any money for anything. And before he's in a position to accept any content from us, because it must be decided what's to be done of it. Is it going on to the Mariners Museum website, or is the Mariners Museum website going to link to our website? A lot to be decided there. And in the meantime, on a provisional basis, I'm going to be able to share with you the video tractor trailer and the catalog of the Outrig collection as it stands today. Now, I assured both Brian and Lyles that if the Mariners Museum does not go forward with taking on the Outrig project, that we're going to go ahead with it ourselves. My intention is to arrange for the project to be perpetuated so it can keep going even if I'm not around. And that means we're going to have to put it on a paying basis. And that says why we're so grateful to those of you who have pitched in with us so far. Now, I bet you that there are at least some of you folks listening now who are dedicated to the PROA concept. And I'm sure many of you know that my son Russell has been a prime mover in developing PROAs for modern seafaring. And you may find it disappointing, quite a dichotomy, that Russell has terminated his relationship with PROAs and is now very much involved in his Goujon 32 catamaran. And during our visit with the Hatfields, he has spoken a lot of why he left PROAs behind. He said there's no doubt that he, in his version at least, he managed to make PROAs work and that they really go, especially upwind. And he and Ashlyn both have loved the time they spent in their last PROA. That's the 38-foot Jezero spelled with two R's. J-Z-E-R-R-O, to distinguish it from his first little PROA way back in the early 70s called Jezero with one R. And he and his friends who have also built PROAs have had a huge experience with them in between then and now. But Russ felt that he has taken the concept far enough. He wants to do something else. So he sold the Jezero, bought a used Goujon 32 catamaran, has been developing it for the last couple of years now, finds it to be a great sleeper. So much more potential latent in the boat since the death of Jan Goujon, who designed it. He's working on a new pedal drive for the boat, and I rather expect planning to take it in the R2AK again this spring. And about the only thing I've heard him say about the difference between his PROA and his catamaran is that, Dad, it's just a great relief to have a boat that only goes in one direction. Meaning it just has a bow on one end. Now, during our discussions, we also spoke of trimarans. In fact, Roger Hatfield is sort of sniffing around the idea of buying Joe Hudson's boat, the 23-foot Cyclone trimaran that John Marples built for himself, but has been owned by Joe Hudson for the past several years. I've spoken to this boat, the Cyclone, which hosted two wonderful trips to Baja California for me and Joe. And Joe's wife, Sherry, has asked me to try to help find someone to buy it who will really learn to love it. It's in pristine condition, been stored inside. It's on a trailer at Big Sur, California, and I think Roger is going to have to move if he wants to get that boat for himself. He even asked me if I would do the R2AK in that boat with him, which is quite a joke, really. You know, how about having a crew that can't see the compass, can't read the charts, can't see where we're going? Although I confess I would love to do something like that. The boat really moves, and Roger and I would just love to be racing against Russell in the R2AK. And Roger and I have sailed together before. We had a wonderful trip many years ago in his Sea Runner 31 out to the island called Saba, S-A-B-A. It's in the Dutch Antilles, but it's off very much by itself, and it's an incredible spire of rock that sticks up out of the ocean. Colonized by the Dutch in the 1700s, and some of the old stone structures are still there. Some of the old Dutch people are still there. I found it to be a fascinating place because, at least back then, it was very seldom visited. There are no harbors. One has to anchor in the lee of the island in very deep water on a steep two slope, and it's not safe to leave your boat there overnight. We had a wonderful nighttime run, downwind run back to St. Croix. That was a great sail. I'm sure hoping we can get Roger to speak with us in one of these capers about his experience, all the creativity that went into Gold Coast Yachts, and now the tandem catamaran or quadrimaran. My gosh, where is it going next? Really, the America's Cup going back to monohulls, hydrofoil stabilized monohulls? And yet here's a commercial ferry boat operator that's going to a catamaran with four hulls. Really, now this whole multi-hull phenomenon is right off the wall. And I really am hoping we can get Roger to talk with us about his tandem catamaran. Hey, you hear that, Roger? I realize that this is a relatively short podcast. It's just a report, really, on what's going on with the Outrig project. So I'll mention again that you might want to have a look at the show notes for this particular edition on the main podcast page. The show notes will direct you to the Outrig Project directories, two text documents, one for my personal collection and one for Scott Brown's video collection. If you just glance through these documents, they will give you an idea of the physical presence of the collection itself. It'll give you some idea of our 20 years of work to accumulate this material. And don't forget that already in the Mariner's Museum and archived under perpetual conditions, there are several other similar collections, particularly for Arthur Piver, Dick Newick, and Hugo Myers. The Myers collection is especially comprehensive. Hugo was designing significant catamarans on his own, but he was also very interested in what everyone else was doing. He filmed and documented many of the Southern California multi-hulls of the day, 1960s and 70s. So let me emphasize that the goal of the Outrig Project is to make all of these materials universally accessible. So if you peruse these documents, you'll get some idea of the trove, the treasure trove that we hope to make available to all of you through the Outrig Project and hopefully through the Mariner's Museum. Okay, we have the fenders out and the dock lines ready. Port side two. Very well, we are back at the dock again. Thanks very much for making another trip aboard the good ship Outrig. Watch your step on the gangway and fair winds. Bye-bye. Thank you.